nervous every time I do it. And so I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. You can just put it right there, bro. That'll be just perfect. Appreciate Brother Shumay getting this set up for us. You know, just I'm going to be honest with you, just sort of a spiritual battle about what to give you today. And I have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of outlines. I could preach anything, but I don't want to preach anything. I want to preach what God tells me to preach. And so really battled. And then when I heard the pastor say that Merlefest was going, well, that helped. That did help, brother. And I thought, okay, I understand that a little bit better now. This is one of those kind of messages that you never want to preach, but every preacher needs to preach.
Go ahead.
This is a youth rally today. This message is definitely fitting for a youth rally, but not just for a youth rally. Because the battle that I'm going to preach about today is a battle that never stops. It just keeps going on and on and on. Most of these adults here this afternoon would not want to admit it, but they still fight the battle that I'm going to address today. And I know that, and I'm the same way. We all come to church, put our best foot forward, and we should. But the truth of the matter is, we're all struggling. And if we really got honest, we're all fighting a battle today. I got saved going on now 36 years ago. But when I got saved, my spirit got saved. My body didn't get anything. Flesh and blood, it's not going to inherit the kingdom of God. And so this old nature that I had then, I still have that old nature today. And so that's what I want to try to deal with a little bit today. And this is a little bit more of a serious note. It really is. But that just seems to be the direction that God's leading us today. And so I'm just going to trust the Lord. Lord knows what He's doing. And I do know this, church. Man, I've prayed. As soon as they asked me to come, I've been praying for the meeting. And I've sought the will of God. God knows this week I've tried to be in my Bible. I've tried. I'm sure I've not been like I ought to be, but I've tried to be in my Bible this week. I've tried to be in prayer all week this week and just really seeking the will of God. And so I want you to stand, if you will, this afternoon. 1 Peter chapter 3, this is going to seem like such an odd passage of Scripture to read at a youth rally. But God has a perfect plan, and so we're just going to trust the Lord with it today. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 1. The Bible says, "Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price." I know that's in context, that's talking to the wives there for just a little bit. But to be honest with you, all of us have that hidden man. That 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 4 is talking about. And I'm just going to jump right into it today, and I don't think I'm going to keep you very long, but I want to talk to you just a little bit about this subject this morning or this afternoon. How's your hidden man? How is your hidden man? And I'm just telling you, this message is, it's going to hit a bullseye today. It already has. Before I got here, it already hit a bullseye right here. And so this is going to be plowing down every single person's corn row today. But God knows my heart. Good gracious, I want to try to be a blessing, and I want to lift up the Lord. But I want to try to be a blessing today. And there is so much going on to try to war against the soul today. And if that's not evident, what's going on right now in North Wilkesboro, a lot of demonic things are going on this weekend. And the devil is after the hidden man. And so I want to talk just a little bit today about that hidden man. Look, you can be seated this morning. I'm going to pray, and we're going to jump right into the Bible study today. Father, thank you for your blessings and for the opportunity to be here today. Lord, the music's been wonderful. It's been uplifting. The choir did a fantastic job. And Lord, I don't believe the message is going to bring things down. I don't believe it is at all. But I do know the message is of a somber sort. It's a serious message. And so, Lord, I pray that you'll knit our hearts together now. And I pray that we'll learn something that would help us. We pray, number one, that our Savior would be glorified and lifted up and magnified. And I pray that all eyes and minds and focus will be on Him today. I pray the spotlight will be on Jesus. Not a man, not a preacher, not a message necessarily. But I pray it'll be on Jesus. And then, Lord, I pray today that you would avert someone from disaster. And God, it could be today that there may be someone, they've not told anyone, they've not told their pastor, they've not confided in their youth pastor, their mom or their dad. But Lord, the truth be known, they are struggling right now. And it's private, and they haven't told anybody. But they walked in here today, and they put their smile on, and they carried their King James Bible under their arm, as they should have. They tied their tie, they shined their shoes, as they should have. But Lord, truth be known, they're struggling. And so I pray today, Master, that you'd give them something that would help them and strengthen them. Help us, we pray. We love you, Lord, and praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, and for His sake. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, most of you know here this afternoon that our world literally lives in verse number 3 that we read today. The Bible says there, who's adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel. I appreciate, Brother Shoemate, bringing my visual up here today, and we'll use it just a little bit. Most of the world today is concerned about what you see on the outside. They're concerned about the bling. They're concerned about the decoration. They're concerned about the gleam, that which shines, that which stands out. Most of the world that we live in today, the society that we live in today, is all about what we would call image. They're all about the outward appearance, how others see them. You know what I'm talking about. It's true. It's all about improving your body. It's all about, I'm going to change my appearance. I'm going to change my appearance maybe through my hair or clothes or shoes or maybe even plastic surgery. It's all about shaping up and getting in shape. And our society is literally consumed with the outward man. And I'm not against this at all, but we're just literally, all we hear about anymore is losing weight. My Bible says the righteous shall be made fat. Amen. But anyway, that's all we hear about. And we've got, you know what I'm saying this morning? We got the Weight Watchers diet. Well, if that doesn't work, we got the Jenny Craig diet. And if that doesn't work, we got the South Beach diet. And if that doesn't work, we got the Nutrisystem diet. And then we've got the Slim Fast diet. And then we've got the ketogenic diet. And then we've got the Atkins diet. And then we've got the vegan diet. And then we've got the zone diet. And then we've got the Mediterranean diet. And then we've got the Western diet. And that makes me hungry just saying about all that. Amen. And why? Because in this society today, we seem to be all about the outward man. We have Planet Fitness. And then we have Gold's Gym. And then we have LA Fitness. And we've got Bowflex and Total Gym and NordaTrack and CrossFit. And I'm not preaching against those things necessarily, but this is all that I'm saying. We have become literally obsessed with the body. We're obsessed with that outward man, that appearance. Hollywood would have you believe that all women are to look like models. We're so consumed with the way we look. My ears stick out too far. Listen, if your ears stick out further than another, it's because God wanted your ears to stick out further. Well, I have red hair. I wish I had brown hair. I've got black hair. I wish I had blonde hair. We're not content with what we have. We want to look like that Hollywood model. What they don't tell you today is that the average model's weight is 108 pounds. And the largest waist size is 24 inches. I didn't do this before, Brother Mark, but I thought about measuring around my leg. I feel like probably my leg's about 24 inches around. I just said that, say this, that's not normal. But we're consumed with that outward man. This world is literally willing to do anything it can if someone will pay attention to the outward man. I mean, we will put tattoos from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet. And by the way, we don't hear much preaching against that in church anymore. And literally folks are tattooing their body all over. We'll pierce practically every single part of our body. Some mentionable, some unmentionable. If someone will pay attention, this is very frank, but it is the truth. We'll be intimate with a person of our own sexual gender. If someone will just notice us, we will dress immodestly. We will dress provocatively. We will even cross-dress. If someone will just notice the outward man, it's all about helping the outward man. It's all about blessing the outward man. It's all about working on the outward man. While there is a definite evidence that our major problem is with the hidden man. The American criminal justice system holds more than 2.3 million people in over 1,700 state prisons in America today. Over 1.5 million were arrested in 2017 for drug-related crimes. According to one study, it's estimated that over an average of 300,000 women are victims of rape every single year. While other victims are victims of other sexual offenses, total around 3.7 million every year. We no longer seem to know the difference between a man and a woman. We're so mixed up today, we don't even know which restroom to use. Now, I'm just telling you, brother, we're in a sad, sad shape. We even have legislators in Washington, D.C. that are fighting over the actual murder of a live baby. While at the same time, we're raising millions of dollars to save the whale and save the sea turtle. And I'm just saying this, brother, somewhere we've got a major problem. Why? Because we're all about the outward man. The phrase hidden man is only used one time in Scripture. Basically, it's that part of you that's concealed, that no one else can see. It's the Greek word kryptos. It means to be secret or private. The hidden man is a concealed man. He's a private man. But may I say this afternoon, church, your hidden man is not hidden from God. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 4, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. 1 Samuel chapter 16 verse 7, the Bible says, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse number 3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place beholding the evil and the good. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 5, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. This is all I'm saying this afternoon. Your youth pastor may not know what's going on, and your pastor may not know what's going on, and your mama may not know what's going on, but I'm telling you, Your hidden man is not hidden from God. I think about that little story I heard about. Little Johnny got him a slingshot. And man, he was having the best time with that slingshot. Man, he had a pocket full of rocks. That's how we used to do it. And man, he was walking around the house. He was shooting everything. And I mean, he was shooting rocks, shooting trees, shooting the fence. Well, Grandma had a prize goose. And he thought, you know what? It'd be fun to shoot that prize goose. He wasn't going to hurt it. He's just going to aggravate it a little bit. He got that slingshot. Man, he put him a rock in there and he pulled it way back. And he let that rock go. But he hit it in the head. And that prize goose fell over dead as a doornail. He thought, man, Mama, Grandma's going to kill me. I mean, she's going to kill me. And so he took that goose and he dug out a place in the wood pile and he put that dead goose down to that wood pile and he covered that goose up and everything was going great until he turned around and his little sister was standing there. And she said, I seen what you did. And she said, if you don't do everything I tell you to do, I'm going to tell Grandma you killed her goose. Man, for the next few days, I mean, she'd say, make up my bed. I'm going to tell Grandma you killed her goose. He'd make up her bed. I mean, man, every day he was doing all her chores and she was just putting him to the test and after several days he just got all he could stand and he went to his grandma and had tears running down his cheeks and he said, Grandma, he said, I'm sorry to tell you. He said, but I can't stand it anymore. He said, I killed your goose. Grandma said, I know you did. He said, what? She said, I know you did. She said, the day you killed him, I was watching out the window. And she said, I saw you. I saw you bury him in the wood pile. Now, wait a minute. That young man could have averted a lot of problems had he just been honest and told Grandma what was going on. Did you know in the same way, my dear friend, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper? There is a God in heaven that knows what we're doing. He knows what we're thinking. He knows how we're living. He knows the habit of our life. And we may hide it from our wife. And we may hide it from our husband. And we may hide it from our coworkers. And we may hide it from our church family. But I'm telling you, God knows the hidden man today. May I say number two? Your hidden man is the most important part about you. Now think with me this afternoon. We have a knight in a suit of armor here. Now think about this. What you see pretty much here is the outward man. Did you know that this suit of armor can be dented, but the man inside can still go on fighting? This suit of armor can be scratched, but the soldier inside can keep on fighting. This suit of armor can be torn. It can be dirty. It can be dusty. But as long as the man inside the armor is well, he can live to fight another day. But you let the man inside the armor get hurt. Let the man inside the armor begin to bleed. Let the man inside the armor become injured. And you know what? Armor or no armor, the fight comes to a halt. You understand that it's not so much about your outward man, although I believe exactly, and I say amen to what Brother Seth said earlier. We ought to have some standards and some holy, and I'll say more about that in just a little bit. And yes, God is concerned about the way you look and the way you live and all that. But this is what I'm saying. Brother, you better guard that inner man, that hidden man with all you have. Why? Because your hidden man is the most important thing in your life. I'm going to give you three questions and we'll go. Number one, I wrote this down, is your hidden man healthy? Is your hidden man healthy? Did you know the Bible tells us that God gives us pastors and youth pastors to try to help your hidden man be healthy? The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 16 says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. Listen, if the man inside the armor is sick and weakly, again, it doesn't matter what kind of armor he has, how shiny, how great, how expensive it may be. If the man inside is weak and sickly, he's not going to be able to fight another day. Ask a question. When a fight breaks out between your outward man and your inward man, who usually wins? I thought about the story about the fella. Of course, this is not a good illustration, but the guy was he used to fight dogs. These dogs were as mean. I mean, they were just mean and cut up and scars all over them. And he would take these dogs to dog fights. He had a white dog, a black dog. And they said that this man would fight his dogs, and he always knew which dog to bet on every time. Sometimes he'd come to the dog fight, he'd bet on the black dog, and sure enough, the black dog would win. Sometimes he'd bet on the white dog, and sure enough, the white dog would win. I mean, he had a foolproof system. And somebody asked him, they said, man, what in the world? How do you know? How do you know which dog's going to win? I don't understand. How do you do it? How do you know? And finally, he told him what it was. He said, the dog that I feed is the dog that's going to win. He said, before I go to that dog fight, one of those dogs, he said, I'm starving to death all week long. I mean, I hold out on him and I don't feed him. The other dog, I feed him great. I mean, I feed him great. And he goes to that fight strong. Listen to me now. You say, preacher, why do I have such a problem with my outward man wanting to rise up against my inner man? And why is he always getting the victory? Maybe because you're feeding the outward man more than you're feeding the inward man. Is your hidden man healthy? How about this? Number two, is your hidden man holy? Would you take your Bibles and turn over to 1 Peter chapter 15? 1 Peter chapter 15 and look, if you will, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 15. 1 Peter chapter 1, I'm sorry, verse number 15. The Bible says, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy. In all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. The word holy there is the Greek word hagos, and it means pure morally. It means morally blameless. It goes just a little bit further than that. It means sacred ceremonially. Did you know under the Old Testament law, the sacrifice lamb had to be sacred ceremonially. When they would go to their flock to get a lamb for the sacrifice, that little lamb couldn't have a broken leg. That little lamb couldn't have a blind eye. That little lamb couldn't have a blemish on his coat. That little lamb, as much as was possible, that little lamb had to be sacred ceremonially. It needed to be holy. It needed to be pure. Did you know that's exactly what God is saying to you and I? God, you say, but pastor, how in the world can he expect us to do that in the kind of world that we're living in today? Listen, did you know that God will never ask you to do something that you cannot do? And God said, I want you to be holy. I know we're living in an old unholy world. I know we're living in a defiled world. I know we're living in a dirty world. But I want you to be holy. I want you to be sacred ceremonially. I thought about that passage in Luke chapter 23 when the Bible says that Pilate brought Jesus out to the multitude. And Pilate said about Jesus, I find no fault in this man. Holy. Sacred ceremonially. Man clean, pure. And that's your question this afternoon, young people. If we checked your room, if we went home and we just started going through your room, would we find no fault? I'm not picking on you. God knows, I'm not picking on you. Because the two guys that are up on this platform, we fight with the same thing you fight with. We fight the same kind of battle. Oh, we may get up here and put on the happy face, and we should, and you know what? We try to serve God and love the Lord, but the truth of the matter is we're all fighting the same battle today. And if we went to your room today, your bedroom, would we find no fault in your room? I thought about this. You know, just what are some things that have to do with young people? Hey, ask a question. If we went and got your cell phone, would we find no fault on your cell phone? I mean, if you just gave us the password and we unlocked it and we started looking through your phone, and I mean, looking through all the photos and all the pictures and all the emails, would we find no fault on your phone? How about this? I wonder about your text. If we started looking at your phone and we started looking at all your text, I wonder what we would find. Again, I'm not picking on you. Honestly, God knows, I'm not trying to pick on you today. But I want to help you. I want to help you this afternoon. I wonder if we begin to go through all of your text, I wonder if we would find something in that thread that shouldn't be there. Words that shouldn't be there. Pictures that shouldn't be there. By the way, things that we don't want anybody to know about. We wouldn't want our mama to find it. We wouldn't want our daddy to find it. We sure wouldn't want our preacher to find it. But here's the thing. The hidden man's not hidden from God. And so if we begin to look through your text, would we find no fault in your text? I thought about this, Brother Seth. If we started going through your music library, would we find no fault? If we went out to your car today and unlocked your car, began to go through your dash, began to go through your glove compartment, began to go through your stereo. Again, young people, I'm not picking on you. Brother Steve just wants to help you today. I wonder, would there be music in your car? Would there be music on your phone? Would there be music on your computer? Would there be music in your earbuds, your iPod? Would there be music that, you know what, you don't want anybody else to know about it, but you listen to that music, you listen to that song, and it's not the right kind of song, and that's all I'm saying. Listen, you know what God said? God said, I want you to be sacred ceremonially. I want you to be pure. I want you to be holy. Now, this is all I'm saying, young people. Listen, your hidden man is the most important part about you. And you know what? Did you know this? Did you know the devil knows that as well? And the devil wants to do everything he can in his power to try to defile you and to try to mess you up and to try to make you impure and to take your purity from you and your chastity from you and your honesty from you. And this is all I'm saying. You ought to do every single thing you can to try to protect your hidden man, protect your inward man. You say, well, preacher, I don't mean to, but I get to texting and some of my friends, they get to saying the wrong kind of things, and before I know it, I get to start saying the wrong kind of things, and we start texting the wrong kind of words, or preacher, I don't mean to, but it just gets out of control, and I start looking at things on my phone I shouldn't look at, or I start looking at things on my computer I shouldn't look at, or I start texting things I shouldn't text, or I start listening to music I shouldn't listen to, and you say, preacher, I don't know what happens. It just controls me, and I just can't handle it. And this is all I'm saying. Rather than you allow life to control you, do you know what we need today? We need some young people at the Calvary Baptist Church and at this Generation for Christ youth meeting that'll say, I'm not going to let life control me, but I'm going to control life. And that means, my dear friend, that means even if you got to do something drastic. Amen. Whatever you got to do, you say, what in the world? What are you trying to do? Trying to get your attention. That's what I'm trying to do. I don't want you to walk out of this meeting and forget this message or forget this service. I want you to understand something. The devil's after you. He's on your trail. He wants to ruin you. He wants to ruin your testimony. He wants to destroy your home. He wants to destroy your marriage. Listen, the devil is after you today. And whatever you do, whatever it takes, you protect that hidden man. Is your hidden man healthy? Is your hidden man holy? We're going to be done in just a minute. I want you to take your Bibles real quickly with me, if you will, and turn to the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 8. And look, if you will, please, at verse number 12. And I want to show you a verse that had an impact on my life. Ezekiel chapter 8 and verse number 12. Kids, listen, I love you. I want to help you this morning. Ezekiel chapter 8 and verse number 12. Then said he unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark? Every man, here it is, every man in the chambers of his imagery. For they say, the Lord seeth us not. The Lord hath forsaken the earth. Every man in the chambers of his imagery. You know what that is? That's your mind. That's your conscience. The chambers of his imagery. That's that room where nobody else is allowed. You wouldn't dare give your parents the key. You wouldn't want your pastor walking around in there. You know what the truth is? A lot of folks haven't given the Lord Jesus the key to that room. And they're bringing things into the chamber of that imagery, that imagination. They're thinking about things. They're pondering on things. They're entertaining things. But listen to me. Did you know the mind is just like a computer? And once you allow certain files in that computer, it can be similar to a virus. Did you know when you have files in this computer, often they're very hard to delete? And so that's why it's important that you never let those wrong thoughts in the chamber of your imagery. The enemy's aware of that. That's why he wants to bombard your hidden man with things that defile. That's why, for instance, television is so wicked. Recent article. And it went like this. 4 months after an appeal, four months after an appeals court struck down the Federal Communications Commission's broadcast standards, a new study shows that profanity on broadcast television has risen nearly 70% in the past 5 years. The study by the Parents Television Council, which compared the first 2 weeks of the network's fall lineup with the first 2 weeks of the earlier fall lineup, found that profanity increased 69%. Movies, news programs, sporting events were not included in the study. The study also reported that harsher profanities are now being used. Listen to this. And it added that the, quote, greatest increase in the use of the harshest profanities took place during the 8 p.m. Eastern period, often known as the family hour. You think that's an accident? No, no. That's absolutely on purpose. Why? Because Satan is trying to get at our hidden man. This is why, again, I'm not picking on you. I just want to help you. This is why, young people, this is why, young men, you young men, look up here just a minute. I love you and I want to help you. This is why you have to be so careful about the internet. I'm not reading from Sword of the Lord. I'm not reading from some kind of a Christian periodical. This is Psychology Today, which is probably just as liberal and warped as you can be. But listen to what they said. Parental filtering software programs, for example, one called Cyber Sitter, claims to block 2.5 million adult websites. 90% of boys and 60% of girls are exposed to internet pornography by the age of 18 years old. 56% of divorces involve one spouse, almost always the man, having an obsessive interest in online pornography. From 2005 to 2013, searches for teen porn tripled to 500,000 a day. You say, Pastor, I don't believe y'all preach on this. Well, then don't ever have me back. But if you think for a half of a second they're not talking about it in the public school, you got another thing coming. And you know what? There ought to be some preachers in America that mount the pulpit and say, I want to tell you what, this is what God says, and this is the way you ought to live, and it's time to get back to holy living and righteous living again. I'm going to shock you. I'm going to shock you. Again, this is not sort of the Lord. Listen to this. Psychology Today said that pornographic websites attract more visitors every month than Amazon, Netflix, and Twitter all put together. What's your point, preacher? My point is, we got a problem. And our problem is not with the bling. And our problem is not with the shine. And our problem is not with the decoration. And I'm not trying to pick on anybody today. God knows my heart. And I'm all for you carrying your King James Bible like you carry your King James Bible. And I'm all for you tying your Windsor knot like you tie your Windsor knot. And I'm all for you putting your JCPenney or your Belk suit on. I'm all for that. But I'm just telling you, you can walk in church with your King James Bible and your Windsor knot tied just right and still have some problems in your hidden man. And I just came here today because I want to help you and I want to try to distract you from diversion. Strive to keep your hidden man holy. You say, Pastor, what in the world? What's the hope? So, well, Psalm 119:9 says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Romans chapter 12, verse number 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Here it is. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. How? How? By the renewing of your mind. Listen, with the wheels are on the runway. We're getting ready to bring this thing to a close. You say, Pastor, what can I do to try to control my inner man, that hidden man? What can I do to guard that hidden man? Renew your mind. Renew your mind. Now, renew. What does that mean, Brother Steve? What's that mean? It's the idea of renovate. Look it up. It means remodel. Remodel. Not long ago, my wife and I, Brother Seth, we had our bathroom remodeled. Now, one of our guys in our church is a contractor. And I said, Brother Mike, I said, I want you to come in and remodel our bathroom. Yes, sir, preacher, we'll do it. What colors you want? We talked about colors. We talked about tile. We talked about, sinks and lavatories and all these kind of things and doors. But did you know nothing ever changed until I let him come in and start the remodel process? I mean, I'd go home every day, but the bathroom's still the same. Nothing ever changed. You know why? Because renewal had never started. There's some of you here this afternoon, you say, Pastor, I want my mind remodeled. All right, let me tell you what you got to do. You got to let the remodeler come in. You know what? That day I told Brother Mike, the contractor in our church, I said, Brother Mike, it's time. Let's get with it. Let's start. Man, he showed up early that Monday morning. Trucks, trailers, hammers, saws. You've never heard such beating and banging and sawing and dust going everywhere and jerking things out and sawing things down and carrying things out. And I mean, listen, it was a mess. Ask my wife. It was a wreck for a little while. But you know what? I gave him permission to break whatever he wanted to break, to take out whatever he wanted to take out, to bring in whatever he wanted to bring in. And guess what? Weeks later, we had one of the most beautiful bathrooms you've ever seen in your life. You say, Pastor, I want my hidden man to be remodeled. Let him come in today. Say, Lord, I'm going to give you the key to that chamber of my imagery. Lord, I want to warn you. There's some things in there. They're not very pleasant. Lord, they shouldn't be there. I should have never let them come in. Lord, if you could, would you go in there and tear that stuff out? God, could you wash all that out? God, could you cut that out and take it out? And God, could you bring in some holy things and some right things? We're done. Is your hidden man happy? Not only healthy and holy, but happy. Many people put on that happy face, but it's false. You know why it's false? Because they're looking for happiness in all the wrong places. The Bible says in Proverbs 29:18, where there's no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. My wife and I, we live in Statesville. My pastor in Union Grove, we live in Statesville. Things begin sort of rough on the south side. We don't live too far from there. And so the Statesville police have tried to start stepping up their presence on the south side of Statesville. The other night, there were three officers. They were just sort of walking the beat. It was not dark, but it was at night. It was in the evening. And they were just walking the beat. That's all they were doing, walking the beat. And somebody stepped out from behind a house and began to unload a gun. And one of the officers was hit in the back. They of course, threw him in an ambulance, rushed him to the hospital. And I don't know how many medical professionals we have here this afternoon, but I can guarantee you one thing. When that officer got to the emergency room, they were not concerned about the outward man. They didn't care about his uniform. They didn't care about his badge. They did not care about his gun belt. You know what they concerned about? The hidden man. And all the clothes begin to get cut off, I'm sure, and they begin to look for holes, bullet holes. Wait a minute. Here's the great thing about that story. He did get hit by the bullet. But the bullet hit his flak jacket in the back. And the bullet lodged in his flak jacket and never made it to the inward man. That's all I'm saying today, church. I don't know if I said it good or not. I'm just saying this. Satan's target is your hidden man. He wants to infiltrate your mind. He wants to put things that shouldn't be there. I know this is a tough message to preach. But I believe we need it, Brother Seth. I really do. I believe we're in trouble, brother. If we don't do something pretty soon, we're going to have to raise up another generation that says, you know what? I'm not going to be like those others. I'm not going to let myself become impure and defiled. I'm not going to fill my mind with putrid things and the wrong kind of music and the wrong kind of pictures and the wrong kind of words. By the grace of God, I'm going to keep my hidden man healthy. We're done. You can close your Bibles. We're done. Brother Mark, I thought about this earlier today. You know what might not be a bad idea in a youth meeting like this, Brother Seth? Is for us to set up some accountability. In other words, you know what some of you ought to do? Just as sure as shooting, there's somebody here this morning and you're struggling. Come on, brother. You're struggling. Oh, you wouldn't tell anybody, but you're struggling in your mind. You're struggling. You know what would be a good idea? To set up some accountability and find somebody that you trust who can come to you and say, how's your hidden man? How's your hidden man? You know what? It might not hurt for some young men to come to Brother Seth tonight and say, Brother Seth's your pastor, or maybe he's not your pastor. And just come to Brother Seth and say, Brother Seth, every once in a while, would you just give me a call and say, how's your hidden man doing? Some of you ought to go to your dad. And y'all say, Dad, I'm really trying. But do you think every once in a while we could just go somewhere together and you could just say, hey, son, how's your hidden man? How's your thought life? How's that inward man doing? Some of you young ladies, you know what, are battling with some different things. You know what? Maybe you ought to go to a godly lady in your church, or youth pastor's wife, your pastor's wife, and just say, every once in a while, would you just come to me and say, how's your hidden man doing? Are you healthy inside? Would you bow your heads with me all over the house tonight? Father, thank you for your blessings. God, you know, in one way, I didn't really care about preaching this message today, but I felt like it was what you wanted. And Lord, we were battling between two different messages, and the other message was a little happier, and I sort of leaned that direction. I know me. And I know the devil gives me a fit. And I just feel like, Lord, there's a lot of young people here tonight. And Lord, if the truth, if they were to be honest, they may have sang in the choir. They may sing in the choir tomorrow. And they should. They may have carried their Bible in tonight, and they should. But Lord, the truth be known, they're struggling in some areas. God, tonight, would you challenge us concerning the hidden man of the heart? I pray you'll have your way, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, and I'm going to turn this over to Brother Seth in just a moment. But just so I know how to pray, because I want to pray about this meeting after I'm done. I wonder if there may be one here tonight, and you'd say, Brother Pope, if I died tonight, I'm getting ready to be real honest, I'm not 100% sure that I would go to heaven. I want to go, but I'm just not sure I'm going. I want you to pray for me tonight. I wonder if there may be one here tonight would slip your hand up, just let me pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to pray for you. You'd say, Pastor, I'm not sure about my salvation. Would you pray for me? Right now, you'd slip your hand up right now. Come on. Raise it up. Let me pray for you. Is there one like that anywhere? Anywhere? All right? Every head is bowed. Every eye is closed. Not one soul is looking. I want to ask a question. I wonder how many are here today. You'd say, Brother Pope, please pray for me. I am saved, but the devil's been bothering my hidden man. Would you please pray for me? You'd slip your hand up right now, right now. That's what I thought. That's what I thought. Hands all over the house, all over the house, all the way from the front to the back. Preacher, I am saved. I'm going to heaven. I know that, but oh my goodness, what a battle. The devil's been bothering me. Pray for me. You haven't raised your hand yet, but you'll raise it now. Pastor, remember me. Remember me. Remember me. Remember me. Yes, 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 yes. Yes, 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 yes. We're going to stand in just a moment. Brother Seth's going to come, but I want you to do business with God today. Some of you need to find your spiritual leader or your mom or your dad or a friend that you know you can trust, and you need to go to them tonight and say, listen, every once in a while, would you just come to me and say, how's you hidden, man? How you doing? Father, have thy way. Thank you for your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Seth, you come to me.
Here's what I would do. I believe God's dealing with everyone's heart. He dealt with mine. I'd find a place around here and I'd come pray. Don't worry about it, your neighbor coming or not coming. If God spoke to your heart, if God came to you, I'd come. I'd come. Don't put it off. Worry about who's beside you. I'd come. It's a serious business. Hidden man, that inward man, how's he doing? I'd give an inventory. How's he doing? What's his desires? I'm all for accountability. Accountability buddies, what I say. so much about this outward man, but really the inward man will kill you too. Kill your outward man. We all battle different things, but it's all a battle in that hidden man. I'd come today, I'd get things while it's tender, while it's on your mind. That's really the battle, isn't it, of the believer. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, against the outward things, but against the inward things, principalities, powers. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're all that inward. What are we feeding? What are we feeding? Who are we feeding? We sow the flesh. Or we sow to the Spirit. Reap corruption. If you sow the flesh, reap those spiritual things. I'm always scared, preacher, because it's the same ones that come to the altar. Y'all ever get scared about that, really? And I'm glad of that because they stay tender to the things of God, but maybe it could be that you're not a normal altar visitor, if I could say that. But God's dealing with your heart. I'll be honest with you, every message that's preached, even if I preach it, I find an altar. I find myself bowing my head saying, God, that's me. You say every message. I'm no better than nobody. I fight that inward man all the time. The inward man fights my outward man. The things I want to do, I find myself not doing, Tam. The things I don't want to do, I find myself doing. Things I want to do, I find myself not doing. I finally just scream out and say, oh, wretched man that I am. Paul said, I'm in a mess. If the Apostle Paul was in a mess, friend, all of us are. Preacher, I've got it together. You might right now, but tomorrow, we never know. Flesh is just so weak. Spirit indeed is willing. Flesh is weak. I can remember, we just talked about this not long ago. I remember coming to the altar and bowing down and giving God my thought life. You say, I've never heard of that before. I hadn't either. There's a preacher preaching about, I don't even know, he wasn't even preaching on your thoughts, but I thought, man, I thought, I've got wicked thoughts. And God knows all. Psalm 139, isn't it? Darkness, he's not covered up by darkness. He sees through it. He knows everything. Search me, oh God, is what he said. He knows everything about me. So he knows my thoughts. And it hit me. Oh, God, take my thought life. If any wicked thing comes in, does it? Yes. God, arrest it. Bring every imagination, every wickedness, and bring it into captive. Bring it, grab a hold of it, is what he said. Bring it down. Arrest it. That's what those verses are saying. Every wicked imagination, arrest them. Arrest them. Grab a hold of them. Don't dwell on it. Grab a hold of it. Some of you just need to say, preacher. Not even say preacher. I don't want to know. But Lord, I've had young men come to me. Preacher, I got to tell you what I meant. No, I'll be your accountability buddy, but don't give me detail. You give God detail if it'll help your conscience. You go to him. You help him. He'll help you. You tell him. Don't tell me. Say, God, my thoughts are wicked. Some people's thoughts are this. They think of themselves all the time. That's wicked. Grab it. Pull it down. We got to get our mind on the Lord. Oh, what if just a group of people would just, you know, preacher, just fully, I mean, just fully sell out to God. Inner man, outward man, everything. Wouldn't it be amazing? Let's pray. Father, we love you. Help us today. Thank you for the message. I needed that message, Lord. Help me to be mindful of what I'm mindful of. Help me to think on what I'm thinking about. What I'm meddling on, what I'm building up in my mind, and what's going on in my hidden man. Help me to be worried more about how he looks than more about how this outward man looks. This outward man's dying every day, but this inward man can be renewed. He can be made young again. He can be energized daily. Help us do that by the washing of the water, by the word of God. How can we cleanse our ways? How can a young man, by taking heed thereto, according to thy word, help us to give our hidden man to you? Realizing you, your eyes are everywhere, beholding good and evil. Help us, dear God. We needed this. And we thank you for sending your man to come and give it to us out of your word. And we bless your name today. We're so glad that you think all precious thoughts of us. You want what's best for our life. One thing is to clean up the inward hidden man. And we give you glory today. The name that's above every name, the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.